Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us today on this Thursday. Derek Prince is teaching us a marvelous and clarifying series called The Progress to Perfection. You've probably been frustrated like I have with that command in Scripture to be perfect as God is perfect. What an overwhelming call and commandment. And yet, if we understand that the word means suited to a purpose, prepared for a destiny, then we can begin to understand what God intends. Now, Derek has been teaching us out of a seven-part list that the Apostle Peter gives us. He talked to us about goodness. He talked to us about self-control. He's talked to us about knowledge. And now today, he's going to talk to us about perseverance and godliness. These are very, very powerful. Again, this list from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. So let's listen very carefully and be sure and take notes. It's so important you get this down on paper in your words and then review it as Derek Prince teaches us on progress to perfection.
Progress to perfection. We've been looking together at the seven successive steps that lead us upward from our initial faith in Christ to our goal of full spiritual development. These steps are clearly set out for us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Today, we're going to move on to the fourth upward step, which is perseverance. An alternative translation, and perhaps a better one, is endurance. Now, the third and fourth steps in this upward progress, that is, self-control and perseverance or endurance, are the least attractive or interesting. People really don't like to listen very much about either self-control or endurance. A lot of people would like to pass over these rather quickly and get on to something really spiritual, like godliness. But God's word rules this out. It isn't possible to advance and skip one of those steps. You've got to go step by step. Peter is very specific about this. So here we are confronted with these steps, self-control and perseverance or endurance. It's important to see that they're interrelated in a very practical way. Without self-control, we cannot achieve perseverance or endurance, because it'll work out like this. Every time we get into a difficult situation where we're under pressure and we need endurance, Satan will see to it that the pressure is directed to some area where we haven't achieved self-control. Maybe our thought life. It may be our physical appetites. It may be our words. But every time we're just about to make it through the test, we break down in that particular area where we haven't achieved self-discipline and self-control. Consequently, we're never able to achieve perseverance. I want to emphasize that. Self-control and perseverance go hand in hand. You will never achieve perseverance until you've achieved self-control. You'll always fail at your point of weakness, because the devil will be very careful to see that the pressure is directed against that area where he knows you don't have full control. As I've said, it may be your thoughts, maybe your physical appetites, maybe your words, but somehow, one way or another, under the pressure, you'll fail. Let's look at what Paul says in Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. Paul puts there two kinds of rejoicing. The first is easy to understand. The second, not so easy. First of all, he says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Everybody says, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But Paul doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. And very few people ever say amen or hallelujah or praise the Lord when they hear that. But Paul says there's a reason. The reason is suffering is needed to produce something indispensable. What is it? Perseverance or endurance? Then he says endurance produces character, proven character, one version says, and character, hope, and hope does not disappoint us. God wants us to live in a continual state of anticipation of all the good that he has for us. That's hope. But this hope has got to be built on a foundation of character. It's not something wishy-washy. It's not wishful thinking. It's a serene, steady confidence of the goodness of God. And it can only be built on a foundation of proven character. And proven character comes out of perseverance or endurance, and sufferings produce perseverance. So Paul's order of development is really very similar to that of Peter. And in each of them, there's one essential step which we cannot bypass, which is perseverance or endurance. You see, there are certain things we cannot bypass in the Christian life if we're going to achieve God's objective for us. They are suffering, that will come to all of us in one way or another, self-control, perseverance or endurance. Don't set yourself high ambitions and ideals in the Christian life if you're not going to be realistic about the steps that it takes to achieve those ambitions and ideals. God has laid the steps down very clearly. If we're willing to follow, the goal is attainable. But we cannot take some shortcut, miss out those parts that we don't enjoy, and arrive at the goal. Now I'm going to turn to the words of James in his epistle, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, where he brings out truths that are parallel to those of Paul in Romans chapter 5. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. There is no way to endurance except to be tested. Let endurance have its perfect result. Don't give up too soon. Hold on until God has achieved whatever he wants to achieve by that particular test. It may seem to you that the pressures are unbearable, but God knows. He says elsewhere that he will not let you be tempted above that you are able to bear. Trust him. Hold on. Don't give way. Sometimes we're prone to give way just at the moment when victory is just over the horizon. You see, there's only one route to perfection, and that's the Bible route. If we keep the end always in view, we will be willing to endure. Just like the athlete who's always got in his mind's eye that gold medal that he's working for, he'll go through anything that's required of discipline and endurance because he knows that's the way to the gold medal.
You know, if there's any lesson I'd like to not have to learn, it's the one that has to do with perseverance. But there's this promise that says, if I'll persevere, I'll be perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing. That means I'm just going to have to learn that lesson. Lord, give us grace to do it. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Contrary to what religious tradition and the enemy of your soul have tried to tell you, God wants you to have a life that is filled with meaning, blessing, purpose, and peace. Such a life is God's highest and best for you. The problem is that, all too often, Christians don't know how to walk in the life that their Heavenly Father wants for them. That's why Derek Prince's powerful book called Receiving God's Best is so important. In Receiving God's Best, Derek Prince paints a clear and practical picture of that life, of meaning, blessing, and purpose. And with it, you'll find out how to experience that truly wonderful life for yourself. All this week, you have the opportunity to receive a copy, absolutely free and postage paid, as our way of saying thank you for listening. To receive your own free copy of Derek's book, Receiving God's Best, simply ask for it when you call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Find out how to receive God's best into your life. Call now, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or request your free copy of Receiving God's Best when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and I hope you've been with us for the entire series that we've been hearing from Derek Prince on progress to perfection. Listen to just an example of the wisdom that's been in this series. In the last portion of teaching, Derek said, "You'll always fail at your point of weakness because the devil will be very careful to see that the pressure is directed against that area where he knows you don't have full control." That's the kind of tough, meaty teaching that we've been hearing in this series. Let's listen as Derek continues.
In this exciting study on progress to perfection, we've been working together through the seven successive upward steps in the Christian life which are set before us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, where Peter says this: "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." There are the seven upward steps from the foundation of faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. In our previous studies, we've looked together at the first four steps: goodness, or excellence, attaining to a life of excellence in every area; knowledge, spiritual knowledge, the knowledge of God's will that comes primarily from the Scriptures, the Word of God; self-control, bringing every area of our life under discipline; and perseverance, or endurance, holding out under trials and tests and pressures. Today we're going to look at the fifth step, which is godliness. Godliness is a word that isn't much used in contemporary society. I think one obvious reason why it isn't much used is there aren't many people to whom it could be applied. It's something that's almost become unfashionable. But the fact remains that godliness is something that God Himself esteems and values and requires in His people. Perhaps it would be good to attempt to define godliness. I've thought about this, and I would suggest that you could describe godliness in this way: as a life that would be meaningless if there is no God, or a life that is a continual reminder to all of the reality of God. Do you know somebody whose life is like that? You only have to speak to them or be in the same room with them, and you're reminded of God. Perhaps you have a godly or a praying mother or father or pastor somewhere. You yourself may be rather a long way from that standard, but when I use that word godly, there comes into your mind some person whose very presence and life and conduct just reminds you there is a God. And sometimes maybe you weren't too happy to be reminded. You almost wanted to get away from such a person, and yet you couldn't. I think there's a beautiful description of the kind of life that I'm talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, where Paul says this: "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him." I see two things in this verse: the victory of Jesus worked out in our lives, and spreading the fragrance of Jesus. Elsewhere in Colossians 2, Paul says that Christ triumphed over all the forces of evil on the cross. But in this verse, 2 Corinthians 2:14, he says God makes us triumph in Christ. And a triumph is a procession, a public procession, demonstrating a victory that's been won. So we are to become part of Christ's public procession demonstrating His victory. We're to show off His victory to all who see us. And out of this life of victory, something very, very lovely develops. As we go everywhere, we spread the fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus. Fragrance is a very beautiful but elusive thing. It's a fact, a scientific fact, that a woman may use just a few drops of some beautiful perfume on her skin and walk past you, and your nose will pick up something in the air that no scientific instrument can detect. The human nose is so sensitive. And you turn around and you say, "What kind of person was that that passed?" They've left something behind, something beautiful, and something that stimulates the memory. You know, fragrance probably stimulates memory more immediately than almost anything. My wife and I go for a walk in the evening sometimes in the city where we live, and we tend to pass a house on a corner somewhere where there's one of those bushes that doesn't give out much fragrance at day, but gives out a lot of fragrance at night. And every time we get to that corner at night, we say, there's that bush. And I was in another part of the world, a totally different continent, just recently, and I smelt the same fragrance. And instantly my mind took me back to that house on the corner in our city where that bush was. See, fragrance creates associations. It stimulates memory. And godliness is spreading the fragrance of Jesus like a perfume everywhere you go that makes people stop and say, what kind of a person was that that went past? And every time that person comes in contact with the same fragrance, it reminds them of where they encountered it last. So that's just a little picture of godliness. It's like a fragrance that comes out of a life that's demonstrating the victory of Jesus over all the forces of evil. I would say there are three practical factors in godliness. First of all, a godly person draws everything from God. There's no self-reliance, there's no self-confidence, there's no trusting in the flesh. It's all trusting in the grace and the power of God. It's a life that's leaning on God. It says in the Song of Solomon about the bride, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? And then it speaks about the fragrance that accompanies her. Well, fragrance comes when we lean on the beloved, Jesus. Godliness draws everything from God. Secondly, godliness refers everything to God. A godly person never makes his own decisions in his own will or strength. Before he commits himself to anything, he waits upon God. He says, God, is this your will? If it's your will, I want it. If it's not your will, no matter how attractive or appealing or exciting it may be, it's not for me. And thirdly, a godly person sees God in everything. No matter what apparent reversals or trials may come, they do not begin to complain and say, oh, how could that happen? Everything's gone wrong. Things aren't working out the way I expected. No, they say, I may not understand it, but God is in this. He's my Father. He's working it out for the best. Let me just summarize those three factors. A godly person draws everything from God, refers everything to God, and sees God in everything.
You know, Derek's definition of godliness is a real challenge to me. A life that is a continual reminder to all of the reality of God. That's the life I want to lead. A life that reminds people of the reality of God. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Contrary to what religious tradition and the enemy of your soul have tried to tell you, God wants you to have a life that is filled with meaning, blessing, purpose, and peace. Such a life is God's highest and best for you. The problem is that all too often, Christians don't know how to walk in the life that their Heavenly Father wants for them. That's why Derek Prince's powerful book called Receiving God's Best is so important. In Receiving God's Best, Derek Prince paints a clear and practical picture of that life, of meaning, blessing, and purpose. And with it, you'll find out how to experience that truly wonderful life for yourself. All this week, you have the opportunity to receive a copy, absolutely free and postage paid, as our way of saying thank you for listening. To receive your own free copy of Derek's book, Receiving God's Best, simply ask for it when you call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Find out how to receive God's best into your life. Call now, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or request your free copy of Receiving God's Best when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thanks for joining us today. And I want you to listen very, very carefully as Derek wraps up today's teaching on progress to perfection, because he's going to be talking about ungodliness and what are the marks of the ungodly. See if you find yourself anywhere in this list. And then, along with me, repent to the glory of God. Let's listen.
I've been painting you a picture of godliness. Let's look for a moment at the opposite, at ungodliness. The scripture makes it clear that ungodliness will be one of the outstanding features of human character and society at the close of this present age, and I think we see many evidences of that already taking place. I'll read you what's written in the Epistle of Jude, verses 14 through 16. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly acts that they have done in their ungodly way, and of all the harsh, ungodly words sinners have spoken against him. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. You'll notice there that in the very center of that description of human life and character and nature at the close of this age, the word ungodly occurs four times in the one verse. Ungodly men, ungodly acts, ungodly words, and ungodly way of life. That's one of the facts that we're confronted with in contemporary society. Ungodliness is rampant. It's interesting that it finds one primary expression, which is very significant. Speaking of these ungodly men, Jude says, these men are grumblers. Grumbling is a sure mark of ungodliness, just as persistent praise is an evidence of godliness. What's the positive alternative? Jude states it a little later on. But you, dear friends, build up yourselves in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. So there are three things that are necessary as we are confronted by this tremendous upsurge of ungodliness that's assailing our senses and our very lives. The three things are that we build up ourselves in our faith. Secondly, that we pray in the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, that we keep ourselves in the love of God. This is something that's essential. These, I would say, are the basic activities of godliness. To build up our faith, to be praying always in the Holy Spirit, and to keep ourselves in the love of God. Let nothing cause us to cease being loving and gracious and kind.
You know, here at Derek Prince Ministries, we are all about resourcing you in your progress in God. In fact, this series by Derek Prince almost defines why we're here. We're here to help you make your progress towards the destiny, the perfection, the image of Jesus to which you're called. And so I just want to talk about a few resources that we're making available, because that, again, is our whole reason for being, our whole reason for this broadcast. First of all, you can always log on to the website. You're going to find all kinds of teaching. It's like a Holy Spirit university, really, a biblical university. All sorts of teachings by Derek Prince, all sorts of testimonies and reports to build your faith, all sorts of resources. In fact, one of the resources that we want to make available to you, free and postage paid, I mean absolutely to resource you and to plant the Word of God in your life, is a book called Receiving God's Best. If you'll log on the website at derekprince.org, you'll see where you can receive this booklet. It's great teaching, one of Derek's classics, and it will plant the Word of God in your heart and in your life, and that's what needs to be happening. And so I just want to urge you, in addition to reading the Bible daily and praying consistently, put yourself in a position where the Word of God is being sown in your life by anointed teachers. And one of the ways you can do it is simply by using the internet. Just turn on your computer, turn on those speakers that are attached to your computer, and let the Word of God come in your ears, into your heart, so that you are making progress to the perfection to which you're called. That's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow on Friday as the legacy continues.
Take a moment now to request your copy of Derek's book, Receiving God's Best, available to Derek Prince Legacy Radio listeners absolutely free. Call 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The book and the phone call are both free. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can request your free copy securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.